This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Hassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Testy. It's episode 176. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars, Apple, Spotify, wherever. 5 stars, subscribe. Find us on YouTube. We're on the WEEI channel. Subscribe there. You can find the Play Testy playlist. Has all of our episodes in video form. Hit the thumbs up on all of those videos. We really appreciate it when you guys do that. And as always, on the socials, at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm here with Sammy. I'm here with Pat. Poolside Joe producing in the back. Truck day has come and gone, and we're still here just thinking the same things every day, talking about the same stuff. What are the Red Sox going to do with their right to get a right-handed bat? What are they going to do to get one more arm in the bullpen, improve the roster, improve their playoff odds? There was like the Fangraphs thing today that came out and was like, hey, the Red Sox, if they got Alex Bregman, would improve their odds 10%. And at Truck Day, Sam Kennedy didn't exactly shut it down. He didn't shut down the Bregman thing. I don't know. Like everyone rightfully got mad at his comments, saying basically commending the front office for being aggressive and like being like, yeah, like it's been great to see them be aggressive. Like, we've really appreciated it. I don't know. You guys tell me what you think of that. I'll pull up the quote. I should have it up.
How much can I talk about Sam Kennedy quotes? I'm like, I don't know. They just don't. They do less and less to me every time. This one was kind of funny. I kind of liked it, actually. Thought it was funny how that one felt like he was trolling. I don't know. What do you
want the
think?
Quote?
A little bit like he was trolling. Yeah, read it off.
So here's Sam Kennedy on the Red Sox approach to this offseason. The approach Brez took was one of extreme aggression, extreme urgency. That doesn't mean you're going to end up signing every single free agent you engage with or complete trades that you embark on. It has been great to see the aggressive approach and sense of urgency within baseball operations to improve. Now, obviously,
why do you not laugh at that? Come
on. Obviously, they were aggressive with the crochet thing. But
kinda. They were aggressive because it was the last option. They were trying to get Max Fried, and then that fell through, and they kind of panicked and signed him. I guess you give him a little bit of credit for that. But what do you say? Extreme aggression?
It's nonsense. And I feel bad because like the gaslighting continues. And I, Sammy, I know we've had these conversations on this podcast so many times, and it always goes the same, which is you say, don't listen to a word he says. You shouldn't read into anything he says. And you're right every time. You shouldn't. That said, like, you got to hold him accountable because Red Sox fans across the nation read these quotes and maybe not at this point in the offseason, like we're into February now, like people, like they've tipped their hand. You know where their offseason is. But
well, Gordo, two things can be true. I don't think you should listen to a word Sam Kennedy says. True. But also, he does need to be held accountable. If I'm the only one who's saying that. I'm saying I don't listen to him, but people do listen to him. He's a front-facing Red Sox front office guy. When he says something and he, I don't want to call it lying, but it doesn't come to fruition, he's got to be held accountable. So yeah, I think you can say both things. I say don't listen to a word he says, means nothing, but also he needs to be held accountable for what he says because people do listen to him.
Pat, what say you?
I'm over it. Sam, and I think we'll get to it, but the quote when he was directly asked about Bregman was, I mean, there's like word salad. It sounded like he was having a stroke.
Do you want that? Honestly. Do you want that one?
Please.
One was so good. That quote, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Kyle Mooney, who's now on SNL. He used to do those great sketches on YouTube where he would go up to the athletes and he'd ask them questions that make no sense. Like he'd be like, when you're up to the plate, is it real? And they're like, yeah. Is it real? That guy. That's what this Sam Kennedy quote sounded like. It sounded like a Kyle Mooney sketch.
So his quote there on if the Red Sox are talking to Bregman, I'm not allowed to talk about any specific free agent negotiations or anything, but given that he's unsigned, I think that speaks for itself, which people interpreted both to mean that they're talking to him or that obviously they're not talking to him because they haven't signed him and it speaks for itself. I don't know. It's nonsense. I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's literally nonsense.
I'm changing my advice from don't listen to Sam Kennedy to just laugh about it. You have to just laugh about it. You can't listen to it and get upset anymore. We've been down this road. I don't even know how many times at this point. Just laugh at it. It's funny. It's like he's doing a bit at this point. So I'm looking forward to the next time he speaks because I'm going to make a big joke of it. And that's what we should all be doing.
So on the topic of the Bregman thing, and I don't want to spend a crazy amount of time on, I don't know. Cause like, I don't know where you guys stand. Like the Astros GM today was talking like in the past tense as if they'd already lost out on him. I don't know how much we should read. I'm not. Okay. My thoughts on that. We will get into it, but we're not going to spend the whole episode on Bregman. We've been talking a lot about Bregman. It's been a lot for a guy who's not on the team. And none of us, at least today, think has a very high likelihood of being on the team. But the Red Sox are in the running for him. There are updates on him and the pursuit. So we're gonna run through it. The GM talked of the Astros, talked about him in the past tense as if like we've already lost Bregman. And people read into that. And normally I would say take what GMs say with a grain of salt, because usually when GMs speak publicly about these things, it's used mainly for leverage. But the reason I'm saying to not necessarily take it with a grain of salt is because literally like what, like a week, 10 days ago at their fan fest, he was talking as if, yeah, the door's cracked. It could happen. We don't think it's likely, but it could happen. And now he's talking as if it's definitely not happening. So maybe something changed. Maybe he realized he got fans' hopes up last week and he's trying to reel it in. I don't really know. Maybe he's doing Alex Bregman a favor for all of his service to the organization with that 156 offer, and now he's realized that he's got the fans' hopes up and he's backtracking it. Maybe the 156 was heavily deferred. Maybe it was never on the table again. We don't know. But regardless of whether the Astros are in or not, the truth of the matter is the people in the know still say that it's highly unlikely that he's going to the Red Sox. Like Jeff Passan said it. Sean McAdams said it on their podcast that literally dropped today as we're talking. They recorded that after the Astros GM stuff came out. And he still said that he does not think the Red Sox are going to sign Alex Bregman. Is it still on the table? Sure. He's unsigned. But my mindset until further notice is still that it's not happening. I'm not really going to adjust my percentages or whatever. I don't think he's coming. We'll talk about some other options after this. I don't think he's coming. Maybe you guys feel differently after all that stuff today. I just don't think he's coming.
Yeah, no, I'm not adjusting my percentage either. I'm still at 5. And like I said last episode, I'm at 5 only because there's so few teams on him. If there were more teams in, I'd probably be a little bit lower. So, yeah, not really much of a change on the Bregman front. There's still a shot, but it's unlikely.
Yeah, I think with the Astros, quote unquote, out, I go from, I don't know, 5% to 10, maybe 15, but I said it last time, excluding the Astros. I would still put Detroit, Toronto, and Chicago all above the Sox right now.
I'd still put Houston above the Red Sox right now. I don't care what the GM says.
What's the genesis of the Cubs rumors? Like, when did we start adding the Cubs? I was thinking about that today.
There was a report last month where they said that they had, like, negotiated, like, a really short, like, 3-year contract. And then since then, it's kind of evolved into, you know, maybe a 4, maybe a 5.
Yeah, there was, like, it was, like, I forget who reported it. But it was, like, yeah, the Boris and the Cubs have, like, jokingly or, like, casually talked about a shorter-term deal. And now it's, like, oh, actually, like, they're in. And there was, like, a... There was some like rumbling today about like a 4-year, $100+ million offer with opt-outs. No idea about the truth to that. But the Cubs thing's interesting to me because outside of Bregman going to the Red Sox, him going to the Cubs probably would be the best case scenario for the Sox. And hear me out here. Look at the last time this offseason that the Cubs brought in a high money player. They brought in Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is really expensive in arbitration. And the owner who... like Red Sox ownership has instilled a hard budget, they had to go out and dump Cody Bellinger just to get Kyle Tucker in the building. So if they get Alex Bregman in the building, they've shown that they're going to have to dump more salary. And who's it going to be? Maybe it's the guy who they have slotted at DH who doesn't want a DH, who would be a great right-handed bat fit for the Red Sox in Seiya Suzuki. Yes, he wouldn't improve your defense, but he's a better hitter than Bregman. I would feel maybe not just as good because I don't think he impacts the game in as many ways and the team in as many ways as Bregman does. But like, is that a good enough right-handed bat for me to be satisfied with where they go there? Yeah, absolutely. Seiya Suzuki would be awesome. So if not the Sox, send Bregman to the Cubs. That's where I'm at there.
Yeah, the only problem with that, I'm not saying you're wrong, but to play devil's advocate, the Bellinger dump was kind of like Bellinger and Tucker a little bit redundant. That's the only thing that kind of gives me pause with that theory. However, I could totally see you being right about that. And if Seiya Suzuki's available, that is an unbelievable fit with the Red Sox. Right-handed bat with power. Not a great defender. He does have a really good arm, which is a plus. Like Hunter Renfroe wasn't a great defender, but he made up for some of that with the cannon in the corner outfield spot. But I don't know. I just can't, for some reason, the Cubs, I just can't see that fit, especially with Matt Shaw, like knocking on the door, ready to go. And the, what is it? The Ricketts family, notoriously cheap. I don't know, man. I don't know. The Cubs.
It's fishy. It's fishy.
It's a weird fit. None of this makes sense. That's my biggest takeaway from the entire Bregman saga. Like we hear 6 years, $156 million from his team that he's played for his entire career, the Astros. He's 31 years old. Of course, he's going to take that deal. Nothing happens. Now we're hearing the Dana Brown is saying they've lost Bregman, and now we're talking about the Cubs, and then the Blue Jays have been lurking, and maybe the Mets jump in, and the Red Sox, and the Tigers are just begging him to sign, and he's like, okay, get the hell away from me, Tigers. So nothing makes sense. I'm really excited for the Bregman sweepstakes to finally come to an end, which I want to say it sounds like it's going to happen soon, but I kind of have felt that way for a while, which is bad because at the beginning of the offseason, I said he's going to be one of the last guys to sign. And I kind of wish I stuck with that initial take, but I don't think I get credit for it because I've come off of it.
Did you ever come off that take? I feel like you were on that take.
There were times where I was like, I feel like he might sign soon. Well, okay.
You get full credit for that. You delivered that take multiple times early in the offseason. You were dead on.
All right, I'll take it. Thank you.
You take it. No, but you're right, though. What's happened here with the Bregman stuff, it makes no sense just because if you look at the teams that where it actually makes sense, it's the Red Sox, it's the Blue Jays, it's the Tigers, it was the Astros. To me, it's not anymore what they filled the spot. I don't think it's the Cubs. I don't know. It really, none of it makes sense. But, like, by God, a lot of free agent decisions and a lot of decisions, like the Mavericks just traded Luka Doncic. Things happen that don't make sense. Like, we don't know where he's going to go. But if it's not the Red Sox, I hope it's the Cubs. I hear what you're saying about the redundancy, but you did say the Ricketts family notoriously cheap, and this offseason in particular, they've been very stingy. They've been creative, like the front office has been creative, and you gotta commend them for it. But the Ricketts family, they have a budget there. They are not
have
going
they operated. Over have they operated with extreme aggression, like Craig Breslow?
More aggressive.
Yeah,
they actually have been more aggressive.
Yeah, maybe
easily.
Weird though,
easily.
Like on the topic of stuff that makes no sense. We all agree the Ricketts family, the Cubs owners, are cheap, and I think everyone around the league agrees with that. Yet they just traded for Kyle Tucker on an expiring contract, who's going to command something like $400 million a year from now. So I don't know what's going on, man. This is like, my brain is in a complete pretzel. The beginning of the offseason, I thought I had a fairly good idea of what was going to happen around the league. Now I'm kind of sitting here like, okay, everyone who thought they knew what was going to happen seems like they're wrong at this point.
Pat, were you tweeting about Saya today? Or was that in a text? Did we? I forget.
Both. I think I texted it and then sat on it and then tweeted it. I mean, you want to talk about getting creative? If the Cubs are serious about Bregman, we've said it 10 times already. The Ricketts are not big ballers. They're not going to be just blowing stacks. They're going to have to get financially savvy to free up some space to increase the offer if they do want Bregman that bad. One way they can do that is to trade away the, how much money is Saya making?
What is it, like 18-ish?
I think it's less. I think it's 14.
I'll look it up for you, Pat. No, Sammy, all you right. got it. You got it, Sammy. All you right. got it.
Just like sing a song or something. Do some filler.
Pat, who's your favorite walk-up song?
Favorite walk-up?
No, excuse me. It is going to be 2025, $19 million, 2026, $19 million, and then a free agent in 2027.
Okay. So, I mean, you get all of his money off the books in the next 2 years. You can offer Bregman a front-loaded contract with some opt-outs. You can get creative with that. But to do that, you need to move, or I would assume you would want to move Saya to free up that money. Roster-wise, I've been on the fence about who's the better fit, Saya or Bregman. In terms of off-the-field stuff and kind of baseball player, Bregman checks way more. In terms of, like, because you have the veteran leader, been there, done that, played for Cora, like, just a gamer. Roster-wise, Saya's probably a better fit. And I'm not one to buy into the bullshit that Alex Bregman blocks Christian Campbell.
Doesn't.
Oh, it's so overstated, dude. That's the blocking the prospects is quickly becoming one of my latest pet peeves.
But if you get Saya, he kind of switches up between left field DH. Maybe he's full-time left field. Sedan becomes this kind of super utility. Campbell, for those of you who are dying to see him at second base, can play some second base. And he's a great right-handed bat. He is
better
well
than
above
people think. Oh, way better than
well,
people think.
Well above. He's not going to hit 40 home runs, but you can bet your bottom dollar he's going to give you about 120, 125 OPS plus. Gets on base, hits for a good amount of power, 20, 25 home runs, knocks in some runs, 280 hitter. That's the kind of guy you need in the three hole. Not that Bregman isn't, but 2 years at a good chunk of change, especially.
You want some Saya numbers? You want some Saya stuff?
Hit me. Hit me.
All right. So this year, 848 OPS. That's very good. 21 homers. We like that.
How many games? How many games did he? How many games did he hit those 20 homers?
138.
Yeah, 512 at bats. He also stole 16 bases, which is nice. We like the a little added speed. He barrels the ball a lot. He launches the ball a lot. He never chases. This guy does not chase, but he does strike out. So he's not going to chase, but you got to throw him the ball down the middle. Not down the middle, but you got to throw the ball over the plate if you want to strike this guy out, which at Fenway Park is a scary thing to do.
It's almost like Casas.
Walks a lot. Say it again?
It's almost like Casas. Casas knows the strike zone great, but he still strikes out.
Right, yeah, and that's way better than someone who's chasing all the time. So,
oh, yeah.
And yeah, and like I said earlier, he's not a great fielder, but he does have a bazooka arm, so that's, you know, a little bit, but we're not looking at him for the defense. This is a guy who, like I just said, power, doesn't strike out too much, walks a lot, just a good fit. I would like say, and the speed. We can't forget the added speed. I love that little cherry on top.
So I'm going to read you guys some Cubs players that are making some money because, yes, Seiya Suzuki is not the only guy in theory that they could try to dump to make a Bregman thing work, but Dansby Swanson makes $28 million under control for a bunch more time. don't think they can offload him.
No.
Ian Happ, people would take him. I don't think they want to trade him. Then there's Seiya Suzuki. Mm-hmm. Jameson Taillon, they talked a little bit about dumping him last year, trading him last year. So that could be on the table. Who knows? But we haven't heard his name really at all this offseason. Kyle Tucker, they're not trading. Ryan Pressly, they're not trading. Shota Imanaga, they're not trading. Matt Boyd, they're not trading. Justin Steele, they're not trading. Nico Horner making $11.5 million this year. They've talked about dumping him. That's a guy who got connected to the Mariners a bunch. They got Jorge Polanco, so I don't know how realistic that is, but
Yankees. Nico Yankees. Horner, Yankees. That's my guess.
That's a good one, Sammy. That's a good guess because Yankees are still in that market. But again, $11.5 million, that might be out of the Yankees' price range, to be honest with you, with how they've been operating. Like they just got out. Hey, they got outbid for Jorge Polanco, and what did he get? Like seven and a half?
Yeah. Yankees bid on Jorge Polanco?
I don't know if they bid, but they were in on him and they didn't sign him, and he signed for seven.
Crazy. They just lost the World Series with really bad infield defense. And they were like, let's go get Jorge Polanco. It's like they
would have been
a learn
fit.
A thing. Anyway, we're not talking about the Yankees. But yeah, I don't know. The only guy that I think I could see the Cubs dumping is Seiya. But I don't know why. It's just so hard for me to imagine them dumping anyone with Kyle Tucker expiring deal. Is Pressly an expiring deal as well?
Yes, he is. But dude, just how they've been operating. Like that's it makes no sense, but it makes no sense why the Red Sox are operating the way they are and they do it. Like
it's a big takeaway. That's a big takeaway from this episode is like nothing has made sense. If you're following logic, you might be wrong.
One guy who has kind of floated, I want to say right around the winter meetings, that is interesting is Taylor Ward.
Yeah.
That's like the bare minimum for me. It's like, okay, you did it. But it's like you'd be giving up a pretty big package to get multiple years of the guy. And it's like, it's not even going to, like, he's not really an upgrade over O'Neill. He'll be on the field more, but he's not as good.
It's Taylor Ward. I'm almost inclined to say just let the kids play at that point. Like, he's good.
What?
He's good. But is he a meaningful?
He's better than rookies. But, like, in the end, like, you are going to have to give a good amount for 2 years. Like, if he was a rental, I'd feel a little bit more inclined.
What if I told you that in 117 at-bats this past season, he hit .325 against lefties?
No, he hits lefties great.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not a bad fit at all. But also, the Angels are trying to compete. Like they keep adding. I know they've talked Taylor Ward. That's another thing that really hasn't made sense to me. Nothing does. But like the Angels, they like add Kikuchi, they add all these guys, Travis d'Arnaud, and then it's like but they'll trade Taylor Ward. Why?
Yeah, they'll be okay. They're not going to be like a contender. They're going to be like a slightly below .500 team. Like not an easy win, but not a team that anyone's afraid of. But I don't know. They're one of those teams, another team that makes no sense. Like you just said, Gordo, I just want this offseason to end so we can start with talking about games and not these players that the Red Sox aren't going to get.
I think the Angels are going to fucking suck.
You think they'll suck?
I think they're going to fucking suck.
I think
they're going to be just below average, like 70, like 2023 Red Sox. Like they're not a great team, but
they're
going to
finish
like
last place in the West.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that they'll be like a terrible team, though. That's a really good division.
I would not.
I mean,
the A's are going to be like not that bad at all. They've made some good additions. The Rangers are obviously better. The Mariners are better. And the Astros are better. Yeah, they might finish in last place and still not be that bad.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
All right. The other thing, some people might think it doesn't make sense. I feel like I don't know what where you guys stand on this, because we've beat around the, I don't want to say we've beat around the bush on it, but it's like it's been an on and off discussion, and it's back on the forefront because of the report today for that the Sox and the Cardinals have had recent discussions about Nolan Arenado. So I am a proponent of it, but again, it's under the caveat that they don't trade Tristan Casas. I think there's ways to do it. Pat, I feel like you are not a proponent, and I kind of want to let the anti-argument go first. So if anyone wants to argue against Arenado, tell me why he's not a fit. Does anyone think that here? Pat?
It's an impossible question. It's an impossible question to answer, because if the Red Sox trade for Arenado, one, who's going over to the Cardinals? Two, is it just Arenado or is someone else coming with him? Three, is Yoshida still on the team? Because if Yoshida's on the team, I don't see how it works. And then, like, who's moving off of their position? I don't know. There's so many moving parts. It's impossible for me to answer. There's so many factors that would determine whether I like it or not. Arenado in a vacuum, though, 33 years old, so he's older than Bregman by 2 years, declining. And those bat speed numbers that we all saw today, those are damning. That is,
I literally do not care. He's never been a high bat speed guy.
I do not care about bat speed. It's
because he succeeded without it.
Succeeded.
Not last year. But like every other year of his career, he's never been like an 80th, 90th percentile bat speed guy.
But now he's bottom of the barrel bat speed. I mean, like that's scary. People, smart people are citing that.
I'm not denying it. I'm not denying that last year it dropped, but that doesn't mean it can't come back. There's been reports of him feeling really good about it. I mean, everyone feels good every offseason, but there's been reports about him working on a swing, getting back to what he used to do. I mean, again, we hear this every spring. Everyone's in the best shape of their life. Everyone feels the best they've ever felt. But I don't want to give my pro arguments yet. I want the antis. Pat, you're anti, right? You're anti this?
Yeah. I just think that there are, I mean, the three guys we just mentioned, Bregman, Suzuki, Ward, on top of guys we might not even know are available, there is a plethora of better, cleaner fits. Bregman can play second. Ward and Saya can play left, platoon at DH. Like, there's plenty to kind of go off of there, plenty of ways to fit those guys in. If you trade for Arenado, he is playing third base. I don't care about the open to first base.
No chance.
The only value he has right now is his third base defense. So if that's the case, are you DHing Raffy, which is going to piss him off? Because apparently he was told he had multiple years at third base when he signed that extension. My other thing, too, is people are like, oh, you just move Raffy over to first base, Casas to DH, blah, blah, blah. He was told he had multiple years at third base. Moving him to first base is not the same thing. It's not. And then the other part of it is Tristan Casas is a young building block. We saw today someone in Seattle, the Sox offered Casas for one of Miller or Wu, said no. They offered Casas and Yoshida for Castillo. They said no. So to me, if you get Arenado in the fold, eyes and sights go right back to a potential Casas trade when you don't have a starting pitching need, which is horrifying because I don't even want to know what that return would be.
Pat, I am fully on board with that. I am fully anti the Arenado thing if it means Devers goes to first and Casas gets traded. Put that on the record. I'm not backing off of that.
Can you imagine? That's so stupid. That what? Ah. God,
can I tell you how I would make it work? Can I tell you how I would do this?
Yeah.
And people disregarded when he said it. So like no one's even talked about the possibility. First of all, there's two things with Masa Yoshida that for whatever reason no one's talking about. The first being he's probably not going to be ready to start the season. Right? Like this is a guy who I think his hope, I forget what the update was. He was either taking dry swings now or I think it was he was going to start taking dry swings in like February or something.
He's taking dry swings. He posted videos of it today, actually.
Okay, so he's taking dry swings. But, like, I don't know if this is going to be a guy who's ready for opening day. That's part one. Part two, the manager at Fenway Fest. We heard it. We were right there. He said that they are open to trying Masa Yoshida out in the outfield again this year, playing some left field. Now, I think everyone heard that and said, okay, like, he's saying that because they're talking trades and they want teams to think that he has at least a little bit of outfield value, whatever. But, like, if he's telling the truth, here's the solution. The solution is Nolan Arenado is your third baseman. Rafi Devers plays most of his games at DH while still getting, like, I think if Devers played like 60% at DH, 40% split, learning first base and playing third base, keep him active, keep him in the field. And then Costas is your first baseman. Like, Costas, Arenado, whatever, get some time at DH. So Arenado, your third baseman, Devers, your DH, Costas, your first baseman. Yoshida plays left field against right-handed pitching at Fenway Park. He plays maybe 40 to 50% of the games. All right. As it stands right now, he's a platoon DH. He's playing probably 65% of the game. So it's a cut in playing time for Yoshida. But guess what? That's the price you pay to get a leader on this team, to improve the defense on this team, to improve the swing and miss on this team. Like, Arenado, elite at getting the bat on the ball. Talk about the bat speed all you want, but he's still top of the league in his K percentage and his swing and miss. Like, he doesn't swing and miss. And you'd improve the team in a number of areas. Obviously, it means Yoshida's to left, which means Duran's in center, which means Sidon Rafaela is in a utility role, which I continue to advocate for. That's just the way I'd go about it. Yoshida doesn't need to play left all the time, and then eventually Roman Anthony's going to come up. Like, Williard's your right fielder. He'll platoon with Ref Snyder. Yoshida's your left fielder. When Roman Anthony's ready, he gets the time there. Whoever plays well is going to play. You're going to have more guys than spots available. It's just like the rotation, and that's a good problem to have. And then eventually, if there's too many mouths to feed, you got a trade deadline coming up, and you can reallocate assets, reorganize the roster. I think it could work, but it really does depend on Yoshida's ability to play the field. If they're full of shit with that, then what I'm saying doesn't matter. Mm.
The problem with that is a lot of moving parts. And I just can't remember a successful Red Sox team that had that many moving parts. Like, you look at 2018, it was basically the same lineup every day. The only change would be, is it a lefty or a righty? Either, if it's a righty, we're going with Moreland. If it's a lefty, we're going with Pierce. Second half of the season, of course. So yeah, I think that could work. It's so complicated. And it feels like the Red Sox for the last five, six years have insisted on being the smartest guy in the room. And right now, as we've said 2 million times, there's a simple solution out there, Alex Bregman. And the Nolan Arenado thing, it just seems so convoluted, so much of a lower ceiling in terms of how good it could be, and so many more moving parts. So while I agree, Gordo, that could work. Everything you said, I agree with. That could totally work. It's just, it's so clearly not the best move for this team.
No, you're
team.
Right. 100%. It's making an easy solution difficult. But these are the things you have to do when you're not willing to go long term on really good players. Like, Alex Bregman plays second base. Nolan Arenado doesn't. That is the essence of why Bregman is such a better fit.
Would you rather what you just described, Gordo, or just let the kids play?
What I just described, I'd rather. Because I think the kids are going to get in there anyway. Like, it's not blocking the kids.
For sure. But they'd get a lot more without. I just don't know. I don't know, man. That's so tough.
If Roman's ready, I'm not letting Yoshida block him. But Yoshida's there to play until Roman's ready. Because I don't know. I don't want to force these guys have played, what, like 20 to 30 games of AAA baseball? Like, we don't
Campbell's
know who's
good. 19. Campbell right. hasn't even gotten 20.
It's like we know nothing. We don't know if these guys are ready yet.
So that's why when you ask me, like, do I like the Arenado idea? I'm like, I got no clue. There's 1,000 moving parts that come with an Arenado trade. So when people give like a super strong opinion, like on Twitter, like, this is a terrible idea, this is a great idea, I'm like, how do you know? You don't know the other 5 corresponding moves. We don't know. What if Arenado gets traded to the Red Sox and, oh, you also get Ryan Helsley? Now you got arguably the best closer in Major League Baseball too. Does that make the move a little bit better for you? Yeah. Or maybe you get Ivan Herrera, who, Gordo, I know you're not thrilled on him, but you get an upgraded catcher.
No. That's the scenario that's where I would be. That's where I would like it.
Okay, yeah. No, Costas going the other way. Exactly. Yeah. So there's so many moving parts. I feel bad riding the fence. I know that's not good podcasting, but that's the truth. And like we said the last few episodes, we're not going to lie to you. That's how I feel. I got no clue what an Arenado move would look like because there's 10 other things that are going to happen with it. So just sign Alex Bregman.
Pat, would you rather answer Sammy's question here? Would you rather play the kids or would you rather the scenario that I just sort of proposed with Nolan Arenado?
So even if we do get Arenado, the kids will play. Let me just say that. In this circumstance, I would rather not have Arenado. And I think that's just strictly going off of the amount of moving parts and potential just Raffy position change in Casas, the rumors, and like all of the drama that would occur with the Arenado acquisition. I just don't think it's worth it. Just fucking ride with what you have. Hopefully Campbell or Roman are just studs out of the gate and you overachieve. I would just prefer not to have Arenado at that point.
That's another thing that I think I sort of glossed over when I gave my scenario, but Pat, you just brought it to the surface is the Devers aspect of it. Because like I was literally doing math today. I was like, okay, Arenado plays 80% of the games at third and DH is 5%, sits 15%. Devers plays 50% at DH, 25% at first, 20% at third. It's like, okay, would Raffy be okay with that? With that alignment, he's playing the field 45% of the games. Like he's still out, but it's like Raffy has to be on board with whatever you're doing. If you go up to Raffy and you tell him we're willing to keep you at third, but like you're off, your team's not going to get any, like you've got what you got if you stay at third. But if you're willing to DH half the time and play some first base, like we can get you this future Hall of Famer. That's like you'd see how he responds. I don't know. I really have no idea because it does seem like he wants to play third base. But if presented with that scenario, who knows? Because obviously Raffy wants to win. You watch him every night. That dude wants to win. Wants to win.
I will say, with Arenado, one thing you can't deny is it would be cool to see a future Hall of Famer play for the Red Sox, even if he's not in his prime. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Except for Corey Kluber, even though he's not a future Hall of Famer, but you know what I mean.
We don't talk about that. By the way, how ran
John Smoltz?
Was that with you guys that we just ran into him at Fenway?
Yeah.
That was bizarre. He's just walking around the stands like he's a regular guy. But yeah, anyway, I think my biggest thing with the Arenado trade is I don't understand how anyone thinks they know what it would even look like if he came here. So wait and see, man.
Last thing on it is just we've seen like Hunter Renfro go from a guy who was non-tendered to a 30-plus homer bat at Fenway. We've seen, I mean, everyone loves to do the Mike Lowell comp. Adam Duvall on a one-year deal had a monster offensive season. Like Tyler O'Neill was dumped for nothing. He had a huge season last year, went on the field. Like Nolan Arenado's spray chart, he could be that next guy. And it's a guy who works hard. Guy who has all of the intangibles that Alex Bregman does. I agree. It is an incredibly imperfect fit. A lot of moving parts. A lot of things would have to go right. But these are the boxes you put yourself in when you don't spend money. The end result of the discussion is, holy shit, it's so much easier to sign Alex Bregman. It's just a better fit. He's younger. He plays second base. He does all the intangibles. He improves your defense. He improves your offense. Like it's everything.
Could have also just brought back Tyler O'Neill, which looks a little worse every day.
Every day.
I think didn't all three of us say offer him the qualifying offer?
Yeah. Yep.
I think all three of us were in that boat. But we also all were wrong about Pivetta. So half credit, good enough.
Yeah, that's true. We were wrong about Pivetta.
We might be right about Pivetta in the end.
It's both though. It's wrong and right. If they don't get the pick, they were still right to offer it.
Credit. Yeah.
They were right to offer it because he declined it.
Yeah.
His agent just sucks. Who's his agent? That guy sucks.
I don't know. It's weird.
It's not Boris. I know that.
Is he a CAA guy?
That was... Oh, he might be. Oh, CAA.
Why do you say that?
I can't say.
Oh, but okay. He is with CAA. Yeah, he is. So grumble again, Sammy.
Oh, CAA.
All right, before we get to enough said, I do want to quickly bring up one option that was surfaced on Twitter today from our pal Lou Merlone. He talked about the potential fit of Justin Turner. And that's a guy who we've seen in Boston, succeed in Boston, succeed at the plate in Boston, be a leader in Boston, can do that again. He hit great in Boston, crushes left-handed pitching, played well last year outside of the month of May. I think it was like he would have had an 802 OPS if you just erased May, which, like, I get if you erase anyone's worst month, they'll look good, but something to consider. I don't know. Like, my thought on that is if they were going to be into Justin Turner, they probably would have just brought him back last year, and they went out of their way to not do that. So I tend to think it's probably not going to happen again. But if they're open to playing Yoshida in the outfield, it could.
I don't know if that has. Yeah, I don't know if last year means much for this year. I like Justin Turner as a backup plan. Like, don't get it twisted. That's not even close to my first choice. I don't think that's anyone's first choice, but it's February 4th as we record on Tuesday night, and the options are dwindling. And that's a kind of guy that you can, you know, platoon, put him at first, DH him. He's not going to complain. He's not going to care. And of course, the veteran leadership. So, if that's the fallback plan, I'm not super hyped about it, but I'm not going to complain. Justin Turner, good guy, good ball player.
That's kind of how I'd react too. I'm skeptical that they'd do it, and he wouldn't be my, like, I'd rather, obviously, they just, like, sign Bregman.
And give me, I think, a noise. What noise would you make? I like when we do this.
All right. You know?
Pat?
Pat, okay. if let's say Bregman signed with the Astros, and therefore Seiya's not an option, he's going to stay with the Cubs. Arenado or Justin Turner for you?
Yeah.
That's so easy. Come on, man. That's so easy.
It's Arenado. I'd go Arenado.
What? I'm going JT. 1 year deal.
Oh,
no,
really?
Commitment. Yeah. Reset it next year. I'd rather 1 year of JT than being married to Arenado for 3 years. You can't DFA that guy. He makes a ton.
You wanted to DFA Massa.
Yeah, doesn't he make a lot more than Massa?
No, the years.
The money.
But then also,
I guess you could DFA him.
They're both the same. They're basically the same years and money.
I feel like if you DFA a Hall of Famer, that's kind of like, ooh.
Then Corey Kluber's not a Hall of Famer. Actually, wait, did they DFA Kluber in the end? I forget.
Okay, but he had like a 7 ERA.
I know.
You're done, man. But like,
then the Dodgers DFA'd Pujols, no?
But that's enough. He could barely walk.
Come on, you gotta give it up.
If Arenado is like still picking it at third and still like slightly,
then you could trade him.
Fuck Pat for bringing up DFAing a 3,000 hit member and the best hitter of the 21st century. What a stupid thing to do.
He can barely move. Actually, I think didn't the Cardinals bring him back after that?
Yeah. And he hit a 700th home run.
Dude, he's good for the Cardinals too, wasn't he? Didn't he? I gotta pull up Albert Pujols' stats with the Cardinals.
Yes, dude. No. Gordo, he raked when he went back to the Cardinals.
Yeah, but this is the point I'm trying to make. No, I'm just kidding. But
oh my God.
Yes, he raked.
In 109 games, he had an 895 OPS, 151 OPS plus. That's wild.
This makes my point look so bad about DFAing Hall of Fame. No, anyway, yeah. Back to the original point before my take looks even worse. Just Justin Turner, just much less commitment. That's just, I think, a no brainer. And like, you can do so much more. You can have Massa DH, play left field, bring the kid. It's just so many more options with Justin Turner and so much less of a commitment. And how different.
I don't know if I agree with that, Sammy. If Turner's a DH only versus Arenado, who can play third, is willing to play first.
DH, first base, but you can bench him too. Arenado's going to want to be on the field every single day. JT, I just feel like, is so much easier to manage.
Well, JT could platoon, but I mean, with JT, it's like with both of them, you. I don't want to say you solve. You add a leader with both of them. Both of them improve your ability to get the bat on the ball. One of them plays great defense. One of them is considerably younger, but one of them is also much more of a commitment. And also, you'd feel way better about the Arenado thing, depending on how much money the Cardinals eat. Like, if you're giving back a little bit of value, like, the Cardinals will eat some money.
Yeah, it's also a trade versus signing. Yeah, I think Justin Turner, just for future purposes, I just feel like he's such a better option. You're not locked into a guy when you do that.
No, that'd be a benefit. I would still lean Arenado, just because I think that people are too heavily like worried about his 2024. Like, people aren't open enough to the possibility that a guy who is in his young 30s could bounce back. Like, a guy who's had several, like, he's a future Hall of Famer for a reason. And take him from a middle of the pack ballpark, put him in one of the top two or three hitters ballparks in baseball, put him on a contending team with exciting young talent. Like, I think there is plenty chance that he has a big bounce back season if he comes to Boston. Like, if you told me he was going to have a 715 OPS, like, repeat last year, yeah, I wouldn't be excited about it. But I believe in the guy. He's a hard worker. Yeah. He's shown it.
I think he could bounce back. I don't know if it would be a big time change, but I think he'd get a little bit of an uptick in production. There's a few red flags. It's more so the commitment, I think, with Arenado than the player, if that makes sense.
It would depend on the trade. You'd have to see what the dealio there was.
Yeah. Oh, I was just in the Justin Turner comparison. And overall, we just went over this. There's too many things to account for to even know what the Arenado thing is going to look for. But if I'm asking JT or Arenado, I'd go JT.
Tune in on Friday for a little enough said, hint, hint. There'll be some little interesting theory in there. I'll bring one to the table. These guys don't know what I'm talking about.
Who says no, you mean?
What did I say? Enough said?
You said enough said.
Oh, well, I'm talking about Who Says No Fridays. But yeah, let's do enough said.
Idiot.
What?
Idiot. I said idiot.
Yeah. Oh. Idiot.
It came across on the mic as...
Sorry.
All right, voice do you want to go first?
Coming back.
I got one.
Oh, ooh, I'll go after Sammy.
You go.
Okay, let me pull it up really quick. So I saw this stat today and it blew my mind. Just to show you how big of a shitbag Anthony Arenado is.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Anthony Rendon.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. I know you're just like, that is insane. Like
a brother? No. Nolan Arenado is a very nice man. Anthony Rendon can fuck off.
This is incredible.
Ted Williams, from 1942 to 1946. So, you know, five full seasons, 42, 3, 4, 5, 6. Five full seasons. Played 300 games, 21.1 WAR, 74 home runs. You know, fine, 5-year stretch, a little lackluster for, you know, Teddy ball game. Yeah. Anthony Rendon, since signing with the Angels, 5 years, 3.7 WAR, 257 games. The difference here is Ted Williams missed three full seasons because he was serving in World War II.
How embarrassing is Anthony Rendon? I hate people like that who have this job, like a Major League Baseball player, all the money in the world, and they're just fucking like miserable about it. Like, come on, man. We all three of us would trade places with Rendon in a second. That would be a dream. And he's just like, oh, I hate baseball. Oh, I'm going to sit out. And by the way, this is
a caveat. He makes hundreds of millions of dollars to play baseball and live in L.A. Like, that's not that.
Yeah, I know. Boo friggin' who. And by the way, this is the caveat. Unless he has like some serious mental health thing, I apologize. But as far as we know, he doesn't. So, yeah, not a fan of Rendon. Fuck that guy.
Do you guys remember when we asked Papelbon about Anthony Rendon?
Oh, yeah. True. Oh, good point.
And he immediately just likened him to J.D. Drew. And he would mope around the dugout. Look, he'd be like, ugh, another day in the starting lineup. And just like grab his shit and go out on the field. Like, he just did it like the dude.
Yeah, fuck that, man. I hate thankless people. We all work
Does
so
he
hard.
Have a nickname? Does Rendon have a nickname? Because I think Eeyore could fit very, very
Ooh.
Well.
he is Eeyore, isn't he?
Angels fans brought Eeyore signs. Let's see, nickname. No, I don't think he does. Oh, dude, this is a really cool nickname. Tony. Awesome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Really creative. Great job, Anthony Rendon. Also, Tone, or here's one, Tony Two Bags, which is a Mitchie Two Bags came from. Shout out, Dan.
Tony's got to go play baseball.
Shout out, Dan O'Mara, that one. Friend of the program. All right. My enough said. I had a tweet that I wouldn't say it blew up, but it got a lot of traction. And I quote tweeted the video of Truck Day, not the Sam Kennedy quotes, the Truck Day event itself. And before I start, I'll speak for myself. I think Truck Day is remarkably dumb. One of the dumbest events in sports, if you even want to call it a sporting event. Basically, what it is, if you're not familiar with Truck Day, is people go to Fenway and they watch a truck that carries the spring training gear. They watch it drive away and they clap for the truck as it drives away. So it's really stupid. However, when I was growing up in the early 2000s, not in the early 1900s, what Pat and Gordo might tell you, but in the early 2000s, Truck Day was like a holiday, like a stupid holiday, but still a holiday. People would take school off, take work off, and they'd go to Fenway. Even pre-2004, people would go nuts for Truck Day, which, again, I think it's really stupid. But people would go. I was really sad to see nobody at Truck Day, despite what I think about Truck Day. And I just felt like, damn, I kind of miss those people who I'd be like, why would you go? Like, why would you go to Truck Day? Yeah. And here's the tweet. There's just nobody there. And like, again, I don't like Truck Day, but people used to love it. And it's just sad seeing the interest in the Red Sox go down. And at the same time, I can't blame people. Would you take off a Monday to support these Red Sox, the state of the front office, what they've been doing, the rhetoric, the messaging they've given us? I can't even blame people. I don't really have a take or anything. I just felt it was sad and sad Truck Day.
No, I mean, I live a 15-minute walk from Fenway and I work from home, and I didn't go to Truck Day. The truth of the matter is I feel like if you had a team that was coming off a playoff run, a team that's projected to make the playoffs again, a team that's good, a team that has household names for players, star players, and if those players were going to show up to Truck Day, yeah, people would go to Truck Day. Like, people would do it. But the truth is, I don't know when the last time players went to Truck Day was, and the team hasn't been projected to be good multiple years in a row since before the Mookie Betts trade. So, like, yeah, I can't blame people for not wanting to make a big deal out of it, stand in the cold and go. Like, I wish it were different. But, and now at this point, it's been so many years since it's been a spectacle that even when the team gets good again, like, unless, like, you tell, like, make it public that, like, yeah, Jaron Duran and Roman Anthony and Tanner Houck are going to be at Truck Day. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how you can expect people to go. I hope one day it's like that again, but. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's stupid, but at the same time, like, I want to see nutty fans there.
Right. Yeah, you want people to be excited about the Red Sox. And yeah, especially
that's
us,
the root of it. That's the root.
Yeah, we have a show about the Red Sox. Oh, it was so annoying, though. People were commenting. They were like, who cares? Truck Day's stupid. I'm like, I know it's stupid. That's not the point. It's the point is the interest in the Red Sox is down. People are like, I don't know, man, but it's just the truck. I'm like, I know. Not the point. But anyway, I digress. It seems, I mean, a lot of people agreed. I think over 1,000 likes on that. So
hell yeah, brother.
People are sad. People are sad. It's, I don't know, but I don't blame them. Like I said, so just win games. People will come back.
All right. My enough said before we get out of here. Quick one. Just big time shout out. Big MLB The Show guy. And they're putting Manny in the game this year. They're putting Manny Ramirez in the game this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I were like a fringe MLB The Show guy, like, that would push me so far. I mean, like, I'm going to get the game regardless, but like, if I were a fringe guy, that pushed me so far over the edge. Like, I've been waiting for Manny to be back in these games for like a decade. Like, they do the Diamond Dynasty modes, they have the legends in it, and they like roll out oftentimes the same ones every year with a couple new additions. But Manny's coming to the game this year, and that is fucking awesome. Manny, my favorite of all time. I cannot wait. Sometime mid-March. It'll be great.
Perfect timing for you, Gordo, because you just got banned from 2K permanently. So you need a new game to
I did.
Fill this void of yours.
I did.
What platform is MLB The Show on? Is it on Switch?
Yeah, it is on. It's on all of them now, cross platform.
I might join you. I was thinking about it. I might become an MLB The Show guy.
It's so fun.
You can play co-op mode. So like we could be on the same team, and it's like you trade off at bats, and then one person pitches while the other fields, and then the next inning it switches, and like it's good. Like it's like you could play against each other a bunch, but you could also like play on the same team and play a bunch of new people.
I have so much. I have to dedicate so much time to RuneScape. So we'll see if I can find the time for MLB The Show.
Pat, are you getting the game?
Oh yeah, I get it every year.
Okay. Well, we the three of us need to play like the three way co op mode. Sam, you're getting the game.
Is there like a I would do three way. Is it?
Oh, so now I'm banned from playing video games too.
Joe, do you have a system?
I don't have a game, Joe.
Who gave him his mic?
No, I don't have a system. I'm saying if I would.
Who gave that to him?
Joe, do you have a system or no?
No, but I'm saying if I would, I would join you.
Get a system.
I'm thinking about talking to me. Yeah, I'm thinking about getting like a PS5. We'll see.
That's the move, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. How much is it? Like $60?
Might be 70.
The game.
Might be 70.
PS5? No, wait.
Yeah,
it might depend on the system. I forget.
All right. Well, I'll think about it. Maybe.
I'm gonna push you over the edge. That'll be good.
Motivate.
Hell yeah, brother. All right, that's going to do it. Episode 176 of Play Tessie. Appreciate you guys tuning into this one. Subscribe, rate 5 stars, wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, anything. Just 5 stars, subscribe, comment. On the YouTube channel, we are on the WEI channel. You can subscribe to WEI. Go find the Play Tessie playlist there. It has all of our episodes in video form. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe to WEI. And then find us on the socials at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram. So for Sammy, for Pat, for Poolside Joe producing in the back, it's Gordo here for PlayTessie. Thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.